Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to We Are Everyday People. This is Keith Bledsoe. It is Tuesday, April 28th, 8 p.m. I normally do the show at 7. I had to do it at 8. I'm glad I can get it in at all. I didn't think I'd be able to get it in today. But I did, and I am. If you want to call in at any time, it's 718-664-9513. 718-664-9513. And I wanted to make sure to get this show in today because I'm pissed off. I'm disgusted. I'm disappointed. And same as pretty much every one of us out here is relating to our current state that we have fallen into that has been masterfully designed by a system out there that deems us to be totally unworthy. Deems us to be worthless, worthy of nothing, meaningless. We seem to have our weekly police killing. And before I go into that more, I understand for all the people, including myself, who have said that, well, we are killing each other ourselves. Well, yes, you're absolutely right. We are doing that, and that absolutely needs to be addressed too. And I'm not saying that we should deal with the police situation instead of dealing with ourselves. I'm saying we should definitely deal with them in addition to ourselves and on a higher standard, because they should be on a higher standard because they are paid to and sworn to serve and protect us. Okay? So, therefore, that is why I put them a little higher. It's a higher standard. If we were to assault them, you're going to get a hell of a lot more time for assaulting them than you would an average John Doe out there in the streets. So it works both ways. And another issue is when we kill each other, we are caught and we go to prison. Okay? They put you in jail. They arrest you. They follow up. They'll even make up some stuff if you're not guilty. So, yes, the police department should be put in a higher standard. I'm sitting here, and like everybody else, pretty much watching the issues taking place in Baltimore. And I find myself sitting and just kind of just staring at the television and just seeing where we are and how I'm thinking ahead and saying somehow this cop is going to get off also. These cops are going to get off also, like they all have, all have. I mean, cameras doesn't matter. I mean, cameras doesn't matter with Rodney King. Come on, we can go back with that. He was on videotape, clear as day. But cameras don't mean anything. It didn't mean anything for Eric Gardner. Nothing. I'm not certain if it's going to mean anything for the guy in South Carolina, even though that's a pretty good one. He might have to take one for the team. He might have to do some time for his, for being so obvious and making it hard for all these other cops who want to shoot and kill us. You know, he shed a little light on them, so they're, you know, he's probably going to have to take one for the team. But anyway, I mean, what do they expect? You know, Baltimore is erupting. Baltimore is rioting. I know that everybody is saying, you know, they don't condone the rioting and they don't condone burning down, you know, the neighborhoods. Of course not. Of course not. I think that there is a damn shame. Especially when I saw that CVS pharmacy burning down, and I'm sitting here saying, you know, now where are they going to go to get their prescriptions? CVS is 24 hours. I mean, why burn down what is there for you that you need in your own community? Why burn down anything? Now, if they wanted to perhaps maybe march to these officers' cribs, and not as a group, but, you know, however they do it, and address the individuals who had a hands-on who had hands on in this killing of this brother in Baltimore and all the rest of them. Then I say, okay, fine. Now, if you want to shoot some violence that way and get some justice, since we can't seem to get justice anywhere else and deal with the direct individual, well, that's a whole new element. That's a whole new element. That's a whole, but you know, new thing. But to go out and put someone in jeopardy who has had nothing to do with this assault of us, you know, that's not right. I mean, most police officers are good people and they do serve and protect. I've been pulled over a few times by police officers. I've been lucky to have actually three times in the past year, you know, in traffic and, you know, nothing major, but they let me go. They were, and these are white cops. They were kind, they were courteous, professional, and I appreciated that, which most cops are that way. But there's an element, and the police department clearly has a KKK mentality, Ku Klux Klan mentality. And what it seems to me is, though, these elements has infiltrated the police department to do exactly what it is that they're doing. We live in a wicked system. If you don't understand this system, and within this system there's an element of racism and white supremacy, that if you don't understand what that is and what that's about, you will never really understand the root cause of the problem. Genocide, our current state, that is all directly related to a systematic design produced and directed by racism and white supremacy. It's clear. We mean nothing. The judges are a part of it. The court system is a part of it. The police are a part of it. The attorney generals, especially like you have one that's Anita Alvarez, Illinois. That's another story. Maybe I'll get to talk about that in a minute or two. Some of the defense, the whole system is designed. There's a code of conduct, an unspoken code of conduct that they all understand that they need to abide by. Now, if black people were to develop a similar unspoken code of conduct, that was understood, that no word had to be spoken, but it was understood what actually needed to take place, not just in general, but in direct contact to those who are responsible for doing this dirt within the police department. That would be real interesting. And it would, but the bad thing about it, though, it would also give them what they want, which would mean that if we were to erupt that way, then they would have reason to just go busting heads for any or reason whatsoever, just by saying that we didn't know what this person was up to walking toward me. You could have been coming to ask directions and boom, pow. My life was in danger. I fear for my life. That is the key words that they're using these days is, I feared for my life. Well, I mean, what does it take for you to fear for your life? If someone is coming across the street towards you to ask you for direction, and they don't look right for you, so thus you feel a fear for your life, and the brother just happened to have a cell phone in his hand that somehow mysteriously looks like a gun, then you say, well, I'm not going to wait for him to get over here. He was walking toward me kind of fast. Well, you were, because you were in a hurry. You needed to get somewhere. You needed to find directions. But bam, you no longer exist because for his life. Ain't that a bitch? So, yes, of course, Baltimore is erupting. What else are they going to do? I mean, what's left to do? I mean, we've been protesting forever, and we need to do that. That has its place. But I don't see the United States of America having a nonviolent protest when somebody puts their back against the wall. The first thing they go do is dropping drones and dropping bombs and go infiltrate and go bust down Iran. Saddam Hussein, well, Iraq, rather, that's what Saddam Hussein was. Well, no, they had nothing to do with 9/11, but they used it as an excuse. They didn't go marching to Iraq. They didn't go march around the Iranian embassy, the Iraqi embassy. No, they sent tanks over there, and they went there, and they took that man over there, and they hung him. And it was all over YouTube. It's probably still out there. Conducts that were really learned from this whole government. What other race? If Italians were getting killed weekly, like black people were getting killed, there would be no talk about nonviolent protests. If Jews were getting killed like that, are you kidding? You already know. But when it's us, you just go protest nonviolently. You go stand in the street, and I'm watching Baltimore, and I have mixed emotions because it's like they're looking like they have a goddamn parade. You know, bands out there dancing. This is, has anybody seen what I see? And caller at 773 area code, I see you out there. Hold on, I'm coming right to you. But I'm looking at this. I have the TV on now watching as I talk. And, you know, I don't know, maybe it's just me. Does anybody see what I see? 718-664-9513. 718-664-9513. But what are the people supposed to do when they're getting killed over and over again? You hear the system talking about, oh, body cams, when you already have seen cops walk off of killing black folk that were on the damn camera. They're insulting our intelligence and we're falling for it. I don't want to hear a goddamn thing about no fucking body cam. And the cops don't need no damn training. They don't need to be retrained. These good cops out there, which are the majority of all the police departments, have had the same damn training as those with the KKK mentality who are killing us. So don't give me that training shit. How do you train someone to not be racist? The only training these damn cops need is to hold them accountable and lock their asses up, and they'll see that they can't do that because they will be held accountable and their asses will be locked up. What's so complex about that? Well, nothing. But when you are seen as worthless and unworthy, and at the same time, we don't help ourselves by taking actions upon ourselves that we take. Doesn't help anything. We shoot in the crowd. We kill our own people over nothing. Now, I'm going to say if people are just going to just want to go and throw their lives away and go to prison for the rest of their lives and go on a death row for nothing, well, do something that can be meaningful to your people, like protecting your people against those who are killing your people. Don't you go killing your people, too. That's my theory. We've been just so backwards, like. And I understand those people who say, well, we can't outgun them. We can't. Of course we can. Of course we can. We can't do much of anything when we gather in the thousands and hundreds in the streets in groups like that against police with shields and helmets and bulletproof vests and tanks and dogs. We can't do nothing in that. But if we were individuals, it would be a whole new element. We can't do anything in a group like that. We don't think. And we can't do it any other way because we talk too damn much. We couldn't have an unspoken code of conduct because there's going to always be that element of Negro that no other race has within its race. No other race has the element within them that we do, the house Negro element that we have. I tell you, we can have the perfect plan, and it's always going to be that one. So we'll make sure Pastor gets the word so he can get him, instead of getting him a piece of the cake, maybe he can get a half. Maybe that might even throw him a little cup of ice cream with it. I tell you, as much as I want to jump down, I don't want to say just police in general, but I'll say an element within the police department. I got to say that despite the system and its control and what it's doing and how it's doing to us, we are our own worst enemy. Truth. And what I've learned is that that's what black folks have the most problem with of anything, and that is the truth. You tell the truth about black folks, no matter how legitimate and accurate it is, black folk will have a problem with you. They don't want to hear it. They want to live within a comfort zone that has been designed by the same people who oppress them. They don't want to leave the comfort zone. They want to leave it in some mysterious hand. They don't want to deal with truth. Until black folk can handle the truth and adjust themselves accordingly, accept it, and use that as motivation to make better, while at the same time understanding the system of racism and white supremacy, I'm not going to say there's no hope, because there's always going to be hope. Hell, the slaves had hope. They were coming across the Mid-Atlantic. They had hope. But it wasn't too much possibility. We're going to have all the hope in the world. We're going to be hoped out. We're going to mess around with O-H. Over hope. We're going to just be laid out in the streets. And what happened to them black folks? A case of OH. We are overhoped. We're going to have hope forever. Now, how, a possibility? We'll see. I don't know. Help me out. Am I the only one seeing this? I'm going to bring on right now, Brother Jim. What's going on, man? Caller, are you there? Caller, are you there?
Hello? Hello? Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Hello?
How are you? What's going on? Yes. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Heard? I can hear you. Yes, sir.
This is Carl. Carl Sanderson.
Oh, Carl Sanderson. Yeah. You know what? Okay, Carl, what's going on, man? Thanks for calling.
Everything is cool, man. This is my first time really actually getting a chance to hear your show, and I like it. You know, Keith, I want to sound on a couple of things, man. It's been killing me, man, the last month or so with all this cop killing. We had another killing just yesterday in Zion, Illinois, where a cop killed another young black guy, man. This is new. This one happened yesterday. And, you know, it's sickening, man. I'm sick of it. I'm just like the kids. I'm sick of it, and the kids are coming out. The only thing I don't like, let's stop the looting. You know, it's okay to riot and come to the streets, and I understand that. But let's stop the riot. Let's stop the burning of the drugstores. We need that. The seniors need that. They need to go in those drugstores, you know, for whatever. We need that.
Exactly.
So we need that. So, you know, I call this place the United Snakes of Hell. I see you got it, United System, you know, United States system, you know. Hey, man, this system stinks, man. United States, this place is one of the most unbearable places. Actually, we so used to it, you know. You and I so used to living in this country, man. But as we continue to live, man, we keep seeing more and more oppressive situations. Even going back to the 60s and the 70s, it's like we're going backwards. We haven't accomplished nothing. We keep going backwards. And it's, to me, it's just a tradition that's continue to keep going on and on. Listen, here's the thing, is the tradition where white folks, you know, they think that they belong. They think that this is theirs. You know, it's,
yep.
And this is theirs, and this is how we're going to continue to do. They, in the 50s, you know, have you ever heard the term picnic? You know what picnic? You heard of picnic, the word picnic. Picnic was a term that was used to lynch a black every month in the South. They call it a picnic. That's where the term came from. This is a true statement.
Didn't know that.
That's where it came from. They would lynch a brother or a sister every month in the South.
But you know,
hey,
you made a good point when you talked about how things haven't gotten better. Things haven't gotten better, man. And you can't tell people this because they don't want to hear it, because there are a few people who are prospering, who are doing better. We have individuals. We have a lot of individuals who are doing better. Okay, we had successful individuals doing slavery. So don't give me that shit. But as a people, we are doing worse as a people than we were 50 years ago.
We are doing worse, man. We can't get no jobs. The kids can't get educated. You know, the system is not designed for us, man. And it's like a continuous. It's continuous, man. The kids can't get an education. You know, they can't. You know, they want to take everything from us. They want to take food stamps from you. They want to just, you know, the system is just designed to continue to keep their foot on the necks of black folks, man, and it's sickening. And like you said, there's a few people. You got your Jay-Z's and your different people and Beyonce. So what? And Kanye West's. Those are just, that's not even 1% of the people that got anything. Most black folks don't have nothing, man. You know, this system would have set up programs and apprenticeships.
Go. Brother Carl, are you still there? Okay, Carl dropped off. Hopefully he'll give me a call back. I see where he was going as far as apprenticeships and, you know, just teaching these kids. And, you know, it used to be a time where you didn't have to have a high school degree or just a high school degree to get a decent job and make a livable wage and take care of a family. I mean, they had to steal meals here. Well, what did they do, this country? They sent them over to Japan. They're overseas. We had the factories. And what did they do? Send the jobs overseas. That's where the jobs were going. Then they talk about the plight of black people. Okay, Carl is back on. Let me bring Brother Carl Sanderson back on the line. Brother Carl, are you back?
Yeah, that's exactly what they did. I'm sorry I got cut off, but I want to continue.
No problem.
Yes, that's what they did, man. They sent all the steel mill jobs that you used to see in Ohio and Indiana, Japan, and China. That's why they thriving.
Yep.
So government sold us out, man. They sold us out and sold us down the river. All those steel mills jobs that you used to have in in Detroit area, Michigan area, Ohio and Indiana and Pittsburgh,
yep.
all those
yep.
jobs is in Japan and China. That's why China is thriving. That's why China and Japan is
yep.
thriving. So
yep.
and they don't and those countries not only that they stole our technology. And they study still in our technology, China, Japan, you know, as we speak. This technology
what?
Right now, they got schemes that they got going on right now with the phones. They got a scheme where they call, they'll tell you, Mr. Bledsoe, your phone has been, you in violation of section code such and such, such and such, and you in violation, and they shut your phone down. They'll shut your phone down, and then they'll tell you that you have to pay $300 to get your phone back up. And they this actually happened to a couple of my friends. They just too embarrassed to talk about it. They called me. I went online, and I saw that certain phone, whether it's an iPhone or whether it's a Samsung, they told you to take the volume and hold it down. For certain phones and file, you get everything comes back. And this is a scam, right? As we speak, back on that level. But I want to touch back on about black folks, man. We have to, back to this cop thing, man. Something's got to be done with all this cop killing, man. Because I'm sick of that one. You know, you get these cops, these white cops. You know, they think they entitled to something. That's what's good. That's the whole problem in the United States. White folks,
yeah.
I think that they have this entitlement thing going on, and they're going to continue to do this for the next 100 years. And it starts in their household where they talk in their household just like people of color. That's a true
yeah.
fact. And then they continue to, with this cop thing, you know, they. There's one of these cops, most of them are white in the United States. This is a big country here. And we got
yes.
cops all over in these southern parts in the rural area. We got a lot of cops. And so with these cops, they get this gun and this badge. They think that they can do anything to anybody, man, especially people of color, especially blacks, black young men. They think and they can kill them, and that's what they've been doing. They've been killing them, and young blacks are tired of it, man. They tired of it.
And I tell you, don't think the fact that we have a black president now. See, we're paying for that also. Don't think the fact that we don't have a black president now. They're showing us, here's something for your black president. Okay, we can take your
right.
ass out. And I don't, Eric Holder, I don't know, brother, as far as I'm concerned, he should have tried that dude in Ferguson. I don't give a damn if he lost the case. What do you mean to tell me? How do you know how the jury would have taken the case and what you didn't have enough of? Man, show us something. Try. Take his ass to trial. Make him
Holder,
think about it.
Holder is a coward, man. That's why he ran and got out of there because the heat was on his ass, and he ran, and the sister took over now. Hopefully, she's going to have more balls than him. That's why Eric Holder ran out of there, man, because he couldn't deal with the tough questions, and he couldn't deal with the tough reality. The reality is, if you're the head man, you're the Attorney General of the United States, I would have been in that position. I would have been prosecuting those. I would have got to the courts, and I would have had them prosecuting them cops to the fullest extent of the law. When you killing senseless, killing black young
yeah.
men, at the calls, what you, just like the one incident where the cop shot the kid in the back six times. Now, we all saw that. There, so they can't even get, the white cop can't even say, well, can I get a manslaughter charge? Absolutely not, because the tape shows that when the man got up, he ran, you just flat out executed the guy. But they're trying to convince me and you and the rest of America that didn't even happen. That's what they wish they can actually do. They say, that didn't happen. You all didn't see that. But we saw it. The young man had the fortitude to turn that tape in, and that was brilliant.
Exactly.
This is what's been happening all the time.
But there's,
they've really been exposed. It just brought more exposure to them, and they continue like hell with the law. I'm still gonna kill a young brother. We don't give a shit about the law.
But
that's why
I believe this cop that shot the brother eight times in the back, he's gonna take one for the team for being so stupid and for shedding light.
Right.
These other cops gonna say, damn man, you know, you gonna mess things up. We had a good thing going. You doing stuff,
exactly.
You know, and now you gonna mess it up for us. We wanted to kill the black. Now this dude in Tulsa, the 73-year-old man that shot the dude in the back, God damn it, that son of a bitch did that on purpose. He knew exactly what he was doing. Remember in high school, back in the project days, you say, slap a dude upside the head, say, oops, oh man, I was trying to hit that fly. Oops, I'm sorry, gang. You know, you damn well you did it on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
That's what old boy was doing in Tulsa.
And
how
you know
the hell you gonna know?
Year-old man, the 77-year-old man, he shot that guy, he shot that kid, man, and he knew, you know the difference from your pager and your handgun.
Exactly.
He knew exactly what he was doing. And that's why he came on TV just to try to save face and say, hey, man, I made a mistake. I grabbed my gun instead of my taser. It's a big difference. I had a taser in my hand and a gun in my hand, and I know the difference with my eyes closed. Come on now.
Exactly.
He knew
that's
the difference.
He wanted to see how – you know, hey, they all got the same. I'm gonna kill me a black man. See how does it feel to kill a nigga? You know, he got him. I got me one, man. You gonna get you one? Yeah, well, he got him one, but he might walk. We'll see what happens with that, man. This is
Well, he might walk, but they shot the guy six times. They're gonna make an example of him, and here's what the police chief arrested him immediately and came on television and denounced that. He denounced that because there wasn't no, they didn't have no room to lie. There wasn't nothing. I can't save you on this one. That's what he told me. I can't save you, man. It's on camera.
Yep.
It's on film. And it's going to be an uproar. So I got to arrest you and take your powers from you. And you immediately, and I have to show you going to jail. And that's what he did. That's what that white police chief did. So that's all a game. And that's just to show you that, look, see what we're doing? We're trying. You're not trying enough because right now what President Obama should be doing, he should be making statements. He should be sending his people out all over the United States, especially in the areas like in L.A., Chicago, Detroit areas, Ohio, New York, sending out all his people out there saying, look, you better get this cop killing's got to stop. Immediately. That's what a president with backbone would be doing. You know, that's
you're
the
right,
message right there. You know, but actually, I understand what President Obama, he wants to get out of there. He wants to do this next year, and he wants to run out of there because he's got a head full of gray hair now, because like every president that comes in that office, man, the United States, man, this country here, you know, to take it on another, this country here is, this is the biggest gangster right here, this country here. We go
exactly.
to other countries, we use their natural resources for a little bit of nothing. We set up shop and put our military in their region to safeguard our protection. We kiss the Israel ass. Israel, and you, United States been saving Israel for the longest. We don't stockpile Israel with all the nuclear warheads. We don't talk to them how to fly. We don't talk to them how to kill over there in that region. and now we're protecting them. Israel, United States is holding Israel up over there in the Middle East, and Israel knows it. And then when you get an arrogant ass guy like Benjamin, how you pronounce his last name? Netanyahu. In Israel. Yes. Anyway, Benjamin comes here. He was invited by this dickhead congressman, Boehner. He comes here, and then he trying to act like and show up to president like, you know, you don't even count, and this is what we doing. Look, fool, Boehner, you're not the president. You don't run the country. You invited this man over, and President Obama already told you that wasn't cool. And they thought that they was going to ride Obama and that they was going to come over here and just take them some rights and some laws and go back to Israel and continue to do what you do. And so that was, on that note right there, I was glad that Obama got the best of that. Like, Obama didn't even, he didn't even acknowledge the guy when he got here. And I'm glad that Obama stood on that because, you know.
I'm glad he did. I just wish the Democrats had some more. The Democrats are a bunch of wimps, man. They just had a couple of pit bulls so they can stick on these guys like the Republicans have all over the place. People who ain't just concerned about whether they can win the damn. I get tired of politicians whose only focus is doing what they need to do to win the next election. Damn that. Get out there and do something what you were elected for and stand and tall and represent. But anyway.
It's all a game to them now, man, because here's what they do. They come in on the Internet, and they want you to donate money. They try to get you, like you talking to them personally, you know, like here go Michelle Obama. And Michelle, thank you guys for supporting us. I really appreciate you, Keith, for supporting us. And then, you know, thanks a lot. And then the next thing you know, the donations. How much can you donate? You know, it's a game, man. And a lot of people go for it because they think that, you know, they might be living a little better than their brother and their sister. But the bottom line is we need a lot of work. We need a lot of work across the board. Now, whatever happened to Obama and all those infrastructures, jobs and stuff, you know, that's what should be put on the table. You got to put that on the table, and you got to force the Republicans to come on board and fix this country infrastructure up. And that's going to put a lot of people to work, man. You got to come on.
I haven't heard.
You got to come with some programs, man.
And I haven't heard anything about infrastructure since before the re-election, and I haven't heard anything happen in quite a while.
They got to know in the back burner, man. They got to know in the back burner.
Yeah.
And because the Redouglans, they don't want that. They want to keep this man down. As long as they can keep their foot on his neck and keep him down, you know, that's what they're doing. And like Obamacare, white folks love Obamacare. If you tell white folks right now that we're going to get rid of Obamacare, they would have your head. Obamacare is really successful for Americans right now. This is some of the best things. This one of the best
Absolutely.
Things that ever happened to them. You know,
they
love it.
I agree.
And so, you know, hey, man, you know, and hey, man, it's a lot. This country need a facelift, a big time overhaul, man. I can sit here and talk about issues all night and all day, man. It's sickening. I see it. You know what, Chief, I really admire you, my brother, because you tell the truth. You tell the truth, and a lot of people can't stand the truth, and they will to disassociate themselves from you because you bring up
happened.
The hard issue.
Oh, yeah.
You bring
that's
up the viable hard issues.
I appreciate you saying that, brother. Yeah, I've lost some Facebook friends and family who just can't handle it, especially when
right.
I start getting into religion, which is another, when I start talking
right.
about religion.
Well,
but
killed them
you know
with
what?
The religion. Let me say this. You killed them with the religion because you told the truth about Christianity is what's got us all screwed up, man. They got us.
Yes.
They got
yes.
our women all in the church all messed up and discombobulated, man. That's what's killing us. Man, most of the wars, listen here, man. See, I read and you read. You know what's happened. Most of the wars that we have, man, they've been about religion. Here you got a set of people. You got the Koreans in the North Koreans. Those are the same people in the Vietnam War, the South Vietnam, and the North Vietnam. Those are the same people with the same blood. You have in the 40s, the early 40s, the Indians and the Pakistanis, the same people, same blood. And all those wars was based on religion among each other. Those wars, all that you can go back as far as you want. Just like the Arabs, the Palestinians, and the Jews, they've been fighting for centuries. They've been down
Brother
there
Carl,
fighting over Jerusalem.
Hold up a second. How much time you got? You can you hang on for a little bit?
Yes, go ahead. I can hang on. Go and do some more talking, man.
No.
Okay.
Hold on. If you want to hang on, because I'm going to take a commercial break for normally to play a couple holes too.
Okay. Yeah.
And when I come back, I'm gonna pick up on this religion part and why I'm so anti-religion.
Okay.
This is one of the things I want to cover. So if you hang on with me, and we'll come right back with Brother Carl Sanderson, one of my South Shore High School Chicago, Illinois alumni. Brother Carl, we'll be right back. You all be right with us. If anybody wants to call and chime in, it's 718-664-9513. 718-664-9513. We'll be right back.
Hey, Chicago, for your next family reunion, call Jimmy Williams of Abstract T-Shirts at 773-690-5366. That's 773-690-5366. your family reunion expert since 1990, with photo t-shirts and custom printing available. You can see samples of his work on the internet. Search for JimmyWilliamsOnline.com. That's JimmyWilliamsOnline.com, one word. For families wanting reasonable prices, quality service, and good advice at making their family reunion a success, call Jimmy Williams from Abstracts T-Shirts at 773-690-5366. That's 773-690-5366. Your family reunions should always be a happy occasion, and your T-shirts should reflect that. Call Jimmy Williams at 773-690-5366. Your T-shirt man.
Don't.
We got to get our music back, man. That's why I tried. If I don't do nothing else on this show, it's going to have to throw a little old school in there to just remind folks how things used to be, because it ain't like it is today.
Oh, no. Yes. What time do your show end? 9 o'clock?
I go to – I have allocated up till 9:30 today, but I don't – sometimes I go all the way up, and sometimes I you know, it depends on how the flow of the show, but I have up until 9:30. Well, how much time do you have?
Okay, I just asked because I'm, you know, hey, man, I'm just, you know, this is my first time tuning into your show, man, and I like it because it's like you can speak your mind about exactly what's going on and, you know, without getting beat up on. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of viewers and a lot of listeners that's not going to like it, my tone, but, hey, man, if I'm here, I'm going to tell the truth. If you want to know the truth, I'm here to tell you the truth about just about any topic that people want to expound on, you know, because I think diverse in that with my knowledge and wisdom. And so where were we? Christianity?
One thing about the show that I run, because I listen to a lot of Black Thought Radio show, and one thing, and I don't call, I never call them because they piss me off because you can't say what you want to say. They cut you off in mid-sentence. They'll tell you, okay, you got 30 seconds. What the hell am I saying in 30 seconds besides, hey, how you doing, and goodbye, have a good day? I mean, 30 seconds is up. And then if you disagree with them, you know, it's a whole other thing. I see, you can call this show, somebody can call my show and disagree with me, and I'll give them the time they need to make their point. I'll make my point. If there's no call behind them, like in your case, if there's no call behind
them, they married to the network.
Exactly. So
they married to the network, and then they being restricted. And that's why this is cool here, because you don't, you know, we've been intelligent about how we were expressing things. I mean, hey, man, the United States is, this place here, man, is one big, I don't know, man. It's, you have to,
it is what it is.
But this country here, man, this is supposed to be United States of America, where a lot of people come. You know, these folks who came from Ellis Island, what, about 300 years ago, they, you know, they came from the old country, as they say, from Europe, you know, whether it's Yugoslavian, Italians, the Irish, they all came here and they flocked out to the Ellis Islands and stuff. And, you know, we came here by slave ships and, you know, we came here and this, and we built this stuff, slavery. It's built on the back of slavery, and majority of the slavery was black slavery. You had other white slavery as well, but that's a fact. It's white slavery too, but most of it was people of color, and the people that looked like me and you.
It was built on black slavery, and their religion, which was imposed upon black people with bloody hands.
Oh man.
Christianity was imposed on black people with bloody hands. If you didn't like it, they would kill you. I mean, and I can't. What gets me, and when I talk about religion, I'm not talking about somebody's God, because I couldn't possibly know your God or anybody else's God.
Right.
See, so that's a whole other spiritual thing.
That's the whole number one con that they ran, that they get you here on, and exploited you. With that religion, that's why that was the number one, and get you in a calm way. That's why in the southern states, that's why they were running that Baptist thing. You know, that's why a lot of like in your people and our people, they grew up as Baptists. You know, because a lot of the white slave owners was Baptists, so they had to go. So the blacks went; they had to go Baptist. You understand what I'm saying? This is exactly what right. you're right. That was the number one tool that they used to brainwash people, is the religion. That was the number one. You hit that right on the nail, man. And that's the truth.
And we fall for it, and we can't have it no other way. We sit there. I can be talking to some of the most intelligent people, doctors, business owners, lawyers,
right,
whoever, psychiatrists, and we can have you having mm-hmm. the best conversation. And then they'll start trying to speak for God, and they lose me right there. And I'm like, oh,
right,
no. You had me going, and now here it is. You showed me this intelligence, and you showed me how foolish you are to fall, to having failed for
mm-hmm.
this belief system that is used to oppress you. And you embrace
right.
it to the depth that you embrace you. That's why we don't have nothing as a people. Look here, most people go to church, and the churches can't even come together. So how in the hell are people going to come together? It's a scam.
Exactly.
The church is and part of the system, which is why if you build a church and have a church, you can convince these people to believe in that shit, you will not have to pay taxes.
Yeah, the church is definitely a scam, man. It's,
yes.
And, you know, and here's another thing about the religious thing, man. Catholicism. What is Catholicism? Do they think that it's the ultimate religion? Catholicism think that they rule religion. This is what I got to get, Catholicism. And then what is it, Catholicism, Judaism? And Catholicism and Judaism, do they run the religion game? And then they fight with Islam, with their religion, and all of the religions. They all don't. None of them know where you're going when you pass on, when your spirit leaves your body and this spirit dies. They don't know where it's going. They all assume that it's going somewhere else.
That.
You know, they assume
that.
They don't know where, because they haven't experienced that. And no man has experienced that. As long as you live it, you haven't experienced that. They don't know where your spirit's going, whether you're a Catholic, whether you're a Jew, whether you it doesn't matter, Baptist or whatever, you know. And so the brainwashing thing comes in when they get you in church and they get you thinking that, oh, you're going to heaven and you got to believe in this, in that false man up in the sky, you know. You know what I'm saying, man?
I know what you're saying.
This guy, they say, oh, man, this guy here, he's crazy. But that's the bottom line, man. You know,
my thing is I don't mind, you know, people believing whatever they want to believe. It's when they try to impose upon me divine knowledge. Because let me tell you this, I believe that there's life on other planets. But that's it.
Exactly.
And I ain't going no further with it. I'm not going to try to convince
right.
you or anybody else that I know
right.
there's life up there. That's my own personal thing. And why does it even matter? Either
right.
I'm a good person or I'm not. The same speech, why
right.
should a person's religion matter? Either you're an
exactly.
asshole, it doesn't matter
exactly.
what you believe.
Exactly.
If you're a good person,
because
it don't matter what you believe. What difference does it make?
Well, you know what, man,
matter.
Keith? Here's what I find. See, with us, with African-Americans, black folks, we're so nice, man. We are so nice. We buy from everybody. We buy from Koreans. We buy from Arabs. We buy from Jews. We buy from everybody, man. We spend more money on all this materialistic garbage. We spend more money than anybody, man. We're so nice. We're spiritual. That's where we get it from. We can forgive you easy, too. And that's probably, it's been one of our downfalls for centuries, because of our culture. And our culture's been raped. Our culture's been raped so hard, whether it's sports, academics, theater, the arts. Look at our culture. We got the greatest culture. That's a fact. Everybody wants to dance like us. Everybody wants to do everything like us. The athletic ability, the academic ability. We are our culture. We've been raped. They've been raped and robbed our culture, man, for centuries. And it continues to go on and on. And you see it even in the sports. You see it every day. But then it comes down, we're the worst people in the world. We don't deserve to have a good education. We deserve to be killed in the streets by cops. And, you know, hey, man, it's time for some changes, man. It's time for some reality checks. It's time for some
reality checks
across the United States of America, man. That's the bottom line. And they need some knowledgeable people. If you don't know, I will deliver the word to you if you don't know. And I've got facts to back it up. People, they've been just, they've been thinking and believing in other stuff for so long that they're conditioned, like you said, see? They're conditioned and they believe it in this. They better start listening to some brothers that's got some wisdom and some knowledge like yourself and myself, and that's how you're going to get it. As you get older, you gain knowledge and wisdom. I don't, you know, I don't drink, I don't drug, I don't smoke, I don't indulge in none of that mess, but I'm a thinker, I'm a reader. I hold 3 degrees, you know, so I done did everything. I am a successful guy in this country, and I can't do nothing but share. And that's what I'm about.
And you came up to the project.
What you say, Keith?
I said, and you came up through the projects too, right? Didn't you make a route through the projects back in the day, didn't you?
Oh yeah, I'm a product of 53rd and State. I grew up down on 53rd and State in Robert Taylor, where they call the hole. I was 4 years old when I moved to there. I used to live at 5543 South Princeton, and they started building those buildings. My uncle sold that house, 5543 Princeton, and we lived in the basement. And grandmama lived on the first floor, and when they built the buildings, we moved up there. I was 4 years old when I came in 5326 South State. So it's not where you're from, it's where you're
headed. Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Because I went to school, with Deval Patrick, the governor. He's retired now as of January 2014. Deval Patrick, me and him was patrol boys together. He lived on 54th and Wabash. He's a year on us, Keith. We'll be 50. I made 58 April 17. Deval going to be 59 this year. He went to Terrell. He went to Mary C. Terrell with me. And so he was in eighth grade. When I went to DuSable Upper Grade Center from 7th to 8th grade, he was there as well. And it was a Jewish, couple of Jewish teachers. We had a lot of Jewish teachers at the time. And they saw that this cat had a lot of potential. And he was smart, man. And they snatched him and they sent him to this private school for 7th, 8th grade in Massachusetts. And from there, he did that. He graduated out of high school in Massachusetts. Then he went to Harvard for 4 years. And then he stayed at Harvard and he went to law school. He did good, man. It took him out of that environment. And the man was brilliant. He worked for Clinton, and he became the governor. He done some real good things, man. He ain't doing a lot of racism as you know, coming through his success and whatnot. But it's not where you're from; it's where you're headed, man. And you know, as I got older, I got wise. Going to South Shore for the 1 year really was a big plus for me. I spent 3 years at DuSable High School, and when I came to South Shore with you guys, Keith, in my senior year, I learned a lot, and I took it right after that, and I ran with it. I took it, and I ran with it, and I said, it's got to be a better life for me. Hey, man, and I've been successful in what I've been doing, man, for the last 40 years, you know. And I'm in school now working on a second master's degree as we speak in addiction studies. And I'm working on that degree in addiction studies, not to be a counselor or nothing. You know, the goal is to have my own facility. That's the goal. I'm an engineer right now with the city of Chicago. I've been blessed. I've been blessed by the best, you know.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm more spiritual than anything.
Yeah, well,
why I can relate to you on that religion thing, man. You know, hey, you know,
my whole
hey,
thing
man.
Is whatever you have, and whatever you need, you already got it. You ain't got to follow the other big roads, man. I be trying to tell folks that.
Exactly.
The trick, you look up in the sky, you know, for a bird or a plane or Jesus. You know, they got you doing a jig clap with a funky chicken and breakdancing in church and speaking in tongues that you can't even translate. And you ain't even got to go through all that, brother. All you got to do is reach into yourself and get all that power that lay there dormant, which is the message I try to get across to people. And I've some people unfriended me for just there talking about questioning their God. You know, I'm like, whatever.
Right, exactly. That's because they've been brainwashed. So and that's when they tell you that about, and they're serious with you. They're cutting your head off. And I hear them say that, you question my God. And okay, you know what? That's the brainwash. That means that it worked. And so you can't do nothing but just leave it alone and just let them go ahead and just say, okay, then, right on. You know, if that's what they're thinking. Because everybody is not going to like Keith. Everybody is not going to like you. Everybody's not going to like Carl. Everybody's not going to like my wife and whatnot. But I'm, you know, what's that late comic, the white guy, he died a few years back. He was brilliant.
He played
in Car Wash. Say his
George
name again.
George
he
Collins.
Was brilliant. He told
yeah,
it
he
like
was.
It was.
He was
absolute. I love George Collins. He's one of my favorite comic guys. He told it like it was, man. This guy, listen to George Collins. Go back from George Collins tapes. Go Google George Collins and listen to some of the stuff he talks about.
Oh,
and
I've listened to many of his YouTube lectures, man, and video. I use YouTube to listen to a whole lot of people. Dr. Francis Press Welsing, Umar Johnson, Claude Anderson.
So I
go back and listen to some Malcolm X, listen to some Farrakhan.
Oh, man.
Malcolm
was brilliant. Even Martin Luther. He had an attitude. He was nonviolent, but when you listen to him and he told the truth, and he even talked the truth about, he put so much pressure on LBJ to sign the civil rights bill. He was in that White House every other day putting pressure on Lyndon Baird Johnson to sign that civil rights bill for the voting rights act.
I believe they were getting closer and closer, I believe. That's what it seemed like to me.
Oh, yeah. They did. They had a beautiful relationship. They took a lot of, you can look back at the portraits. They took a lot of portraits together, a lot of pictures together, man. They was good. They was actually really good friends, man, because they was on the same wavelength. They just was, they was different with their, you know, with the religion thing. That's the only thing that they was different about, but they had the same idea. You had cats like Stokely Carmichael. You know, you had a lot of, you got to look at all those. You had Dick Gregory back in the day. You had a lot of those guys, man, and they had, they always relatively, you know, they had their own platform, but it was working, man. Back then, it worked, man. The Black Panther parties, all that stuff was working. We was doing stuff. Those brothers was doing stuff. They was feeding kids. The Black Panther Party was feeding kids, and
I benefited from those free lunches, my brother. I was on 71st Baptist by the old Hamilton Theater back when I was in seventh grade.
Okay, get out of here. Okay.
So I know the Black Panthers, boy. They were doing it, man. They were feeding us.
They was doing it, man. And you had people like Angela Davis that was come out tell you the truth about the system. And back then, and also you had a lot of white resistance groups that was in on it, and that was in with brothers and the sisters. The hippies, they was great, man. The music was there. They talked in their music with Janis Joplin.
The music was there, and what? But like I say, no other race has an element within itself like we have the House Negro. And I tell you, anytime black folks trying to do something, you can guarantee you're going to have a Michael Steele, you're Armstrong Williams, or Alan West, or Condi Rice, or Amy Holmes, or Larry Elder.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have one of these folks, you know, jumping up and then playing down the drain once they get through talking, you know, once they get their hands on it. So, but yeah, back in the, you know, if we, like I say, don't when people try to tell me, try to convince me how much better we're doing, I just have to look at them and say, brother, we have more people making more money. We have people who are made multi-millionaires for the purpose of keeping the other people in their place, like Lil Wayne and those kind of guys. They make them rich and famous. Just as long as they keep on spewing that hatred, self-genocide to our people. They, as soon as Lil Wayne try to make us conscientiously black, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you'll
man.
You'll be sitting
and
next
and
to Hammer.
They make it a money. It's like that. It's like they give the money to the wrong people, man, because Jay-Z, he's not going to do nothing for the community. Zilch. And that's Jay-Z is not going to spend no money in the black community. He's not going to help do anything, you know. And that's Jay-Z. And that's how he is, man. And that's the truth about Jay-Z. He's not going to spend none of his riches to do anything positive with people of color. Because he's
no, they're not.
The day into this, there's no, you ever heard of the Illuminati?
Oh, hell yeah.
The Illuminati,
yes.
The Illuminati don't even exist. That's just a figment of poor people, poor black people especially, come up with this Illuminati thing that they saying that Jay-Z, Beyonce, Will Smith, they not in no Illuminati. That's a figment of your imagination, money, and then they making all these fairy tales about them. With this, there's no such thing as Illuminati, man. So I know you've probably heard about Illuminati, but in reality, Illuminati doesn't even exist. You know,
I don't know about Illuminati, but I tell you, I know very much about them. I've watched a lot of YouTube. I've studied and looked into some of the things about them. I can't say I believe in it. I can't say that. Some of the stuff that they're saying does kind of make sense to me in a sense that there is something going on down there that groups these people into a certain class, whereas they know what they better do and what they need to do if they want to keep on getting paid.
Right.
So
and
there is something.
Yes,
there.
Yes. They're good friends, yes, and they all hook up, and they probably talk about how they can sustain their wealth amongst each other. That's what they probably talk about. And they talk about Jamie Foxx and Will Smith. Yes, they all get together and they talking how we're going to sustain our wealth because they know that they can get broke if they don't do the right thing. They know that. And so that, if they calling that Illuminati, okay, that's Illuminati. But the reality is with black folks trying to make it seem like they all in a certain club that they, you know, and they so way a different class. I guess if you're a multimillionaire and you got the riches like that, I guess that, you know, if money is the essence of changing someone, it's a shame because, you know, in the words of, what's the other comment guy that I love? Mooney. Mooney.
Yeah,
he's Paul Mooney. He's brilliant. Paul Mooney is brilliant. He'll tell you exactly what's on his mind. You know, he ain't never seen a Brinks truck following a Hearst truck because you can't take it with you. You know.
Yeah, that's
he ain't never seen a Brinks truck following a Hearst truck because you can't take it with you. And so if you get money like that, man, you know, you better, for me, if I had money like that, man, I'm going to share that money, but I'm going to do it in a way where a lot of people that looks like me going to benefit. And they're going to benefit in mainly academically. They're going to benefit because I want to see young brothers and sisters with some fat on their head. And then they can let them be able to make this decision on how and where they're going to go, you know, what direction they're going to go. You know,
mm-hmm.
This country, you know, it's just not set up for us as well as from birth. It's from birth, it's set up for white kids, little white girls and boys. It's set up for them to survive and be successful. But for us, we have a lot of obstacles as well as from birth. We're being kept down from birth, you know. From birth, we don't get what they get from birth.
Right.
See, because
right.
If the kids
Go ahead.
From birth, you know, that's where the separation, that's where all the racism and stuff starts. Because if black kids was given the same opportunity, the same education, early on from when, you know, when they 4, 5, 6, 7 in their earlier youth, that's what's going to, that's key. That's key. And then, you know, the condition of your household, everything, we know everything starts in the household. And then, you know, it's a lot of ghetto bullshit that we don't like that's in a lot of households that's got to be alleviated,
right?
Because that's what the kids, they see a bunch of negative stereotypes in the household, man. And it's catchy. It's catchy like syphilis. It's catchy. And that's what normally happens with our kids. You know, they get this negative, they get all these negative vibes and stuff early on. It's where, it's, you know,
right.
It shouldn't be that
Carl,
way. So,
I got,
you know,
I got
it starts in the household, too.
Carl, I got another call on the board. I got about 12 minutes for the show. I'm going to get one more call in that came up.
Okay.
But,
Thanks a lot for having me, man.
Man, you I'm going to have to get you to co-host with me one day, man. You're pretty much a co-host today. I'm glad you called. And
thanks a lot, man.
I'll be back on next year.
Anything from my brother that I've been known for 40 years, man. We got a reunion coming up. We don't know where it's going to be. But, hey, man, it's a pleasure, man. Absolutely, man.
Brother Carl,
thanks a lot, Chief, my brother.
Thanks for calling, man.
Thanks a lot, Chief.
Take care, brother.
Thanks a lot.
Take
I really appreciate you, man. I really appreciate your wisdom and your knowledge and everything. And thanks for having me. Thanks,
likewise,
America,
brother.
For
you
listening.
Take care, sir. We'll be
thank
keeping
you.
In touch, brother. Take
I
care now.
I
want
to thank America
right
for listening to me. All right. Okay,
all right now.
Brother.
Take care. Big Jim, what's going on, my brother? Got Jimmy Williams on the line with us.
Man, I enjoy listening to you guys, man. Carl was on the money, man. I really like you. You make a damn good co-host, too.
Yeah, I've been knowing Carl.
Guys,
we go back 40 years, man. We graduated from high school together, brother. He's a down to earth brother, man. We're on the same boat, man.
You know, he didn't sound all pretentious and whatnot, man. I've been getting that all afternoon, man. You know, I've been, you know, covering this little Baltimore thing with a lot of people, but I had a different spin on it, man. You know, my thing, my take is, it wasn't, I don't feel I was negative by saying when these Bloods and Crips came together and now all of a sudden they want to be strong black men together. Motherfucker, what happened to you 10 years ago?
You ain't put motherfuckers in the ground.
I'm sorry, that's just me. You can't
you
put motherfuckers in the ground for 10 whole
it.
Years and then one incident come up, then all of a sudden you want to be strong black men.
Yeah. It was just kind of, to me, I saw it like a little front. And then, I couldn't help but look at it as like a little buffoonery after a while, because then they act like it's a damn parade with, you know, little drums and marching around like, what's all this shit? Come on. What, make up your damn mind. Are you going to protest or you going to have a damn parade or freaknik? What you going to do? You know?
It's the pretentiousness out there, man. I can't help, me personally, I can't help but to see it and go past the seeing. To where it's getting to the point where, you know, you got to watch things with your third eye. You know, you can always, you know, give yourself a level of comfort when you're talking about certain things. But if you're going to outright just don't see the whole picture, you're defeating the whole purpose. You know, you know, it's a lot of brothers out there in the hood, man, that's doing great work. I've seen it with my own eyes. They're not going to get covered. They're not going to even get credit for it because they ain't what the system wants. This system needs somebody to keep pointing the finger at. And, I see it. You know, and then you get these people that want you to get turn off your third eye and get right in line with the good step.
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
We're going to be positive today. And tomorrow, you know, you go back to in the never-never land.
I don't know, bro. It's still going to get worse until it gets better. These cops don't need no. I'm getting tired of hearing police officers need more training. They don't need no goddamn training. They need to be held accountable and locked up. Then they'll be trained to know that they're going to be held accountable and locked up. That's the only training they need to do some time. You know, they get the same training that all the good cops. The majority of good cops are getting the same damn training as these racist pigs that are doing their dirt. You can't train nobody not to be racist. That's what they are.
Yeah. That's what they grew up that way. They just happened to go to school. They knew somebody got in there, got a badge. They got a job that's going to pay them $60,000 a year with a pension. And that's all they're holding on to it for. Don't give a shit. They didn't give a shit when they went in there.
There you go.
I don't even know how to pass the psych test.
I wish I had known that Brother Carl was going to call like he did and you calling, because I would have extended it to 10. I got till 9:30. I got about two more minutes before I got to break it off. Go ahead and make a closing statement, man, while you're on here with me. Tell him, Jimmy, brother, let me say this real quick. Brother Jimmy Williams has his own show on this same network, this blogtalkradio.com/Keith Bledsoe. Jimmy Williams has a show every Monday night at 7 o'clock. Every Monday night at 7 o'clock, I'm on with him. It's his show. I'm pretty much in the background doing what I do, and I make my comments. Jimmy Williams is real people from the hood. It's raw and real and down-to-earth, real talk. Go ahead, brother. You can give me a couple minutes of our closing statement.
Own self out and only go on a scale of 1 to 10 to about a 3 and thinking that's okay, that'll hold you for the night, and then tomorrow reality kicks back in. I don't see what the purpose is. I really don't. I mean, if you're going to constantly keep saying, okay, we're going to constantly think positive. It's okay. That's fine. But that's going to get you up until where they start beating you upside your head, and then reality is going to kick in. You done wasted a whole lot of time thinking yourself out when you could have just went with the flow and kept your third eye open and realized things ain't quite as well as it should be or can be, because it ain't going to never get no better. If you get to the point where you're thinking that all those black leaders died because of gunshot wounds by some unknown assailants, you're kidding yourself. And then some people actually forgets that. Oh, Martin Luther King got killed. They believe in his word, but they didn't take it no further. Okay, who killed him? Why did they kill him? Who set it up? And they stop right there. Bam, nothing. Silence. Keep up.
Yeah, well, they don't dig deep.
Keep your third eye open and take it a little further. That's all I'm saying. It's not being negative. It's just being aware. You cannot be chastised for being aware. That's my statement. That's it.
On that note, Brother Jim, thanks for calling, brother. We'll be talking to you on next Monday night at 7 o'clock. You all tune in. We'll keep you posted via Facebook. And Brother Jim Williams with Real People from the Hood coming up next Monday at 7 o'clock. Brother Jim, thanks a lot, brother. You take care of yourself. Okay. Thanks for calling in. We'll talk to you later, man.
Okay. Have a good one, man.
All right, brother.
Bye.
And on that note, I'm going to close it out, and as always, in the name of whomever or whatever, your spiritual power, peace.
that you want to.